Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight. Open them up to Daniel chapter 4. We were there a couple weeks ago and started the chapter. I got down through the first 16 verses. Let me just remind you, Nebuchadnezzar was writing to the world, the people that he ruled. He says there in verse 1, all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, they were basically part of his kingdom. So he was their king. He was writing to his people, and he was writing to his people for a good purpose. He wasn't telling them that they had to come to a certain place to pay their taxes or to register for the sentence. He was writing to them, saying, I want to share something that the Most High God has worked in my life. I want you to know about that. He had a dream. Of course, we talked about a dream that he had in Daniel chapter 2. But this was a different kind of dream. This was a more personal dream, as it turns out. He brought all the wise men in, like he did in Daniel chapter 2. This time, he actually told them the dream. He said, this is what I've dreamed, and I want you to tell me what it means. And none of the wise men that he called in, they could not tell him the meaning of the dream. The Bible says at last Daniel came in. And so Nebuchadnezzar told Daniel the dream. He said, I dreamed about a tree. It grew in the midst of the earth. Its height was great. In fact, it reached into heaven, and it filled the earth. The leaves of this tree were very fair. It had much fruit on it. In fact, the fruit of the tree was meat for all. In other words, it fed the world. And the beast dwelt underneath it, and the birds dwelt in it. And all flesh, he said, in my dream, fed from this tree. And then a watcher, a holy one, came down from heaven and made a decree that the tree should be cut down, that the branches should be cut off, that the leaves should be shaken off, that the fruit should be scattered. But leave the stump, bind it with a band of iron and brass, and then the tree sort of takes on a personality. He says, let it be wet with the dew of heaven, let it eat with the beasts of the fields. Let its heart be changed from a man's heart to a beast's heart until 7 times, and most Bible scholars think it means 7 years, until 7 years pass over it. Now, that's where we finished a couple weeks ago, so let's start tonight in verse 17, where the Bible says, and again, this is Nebuchadnezzar still talking about his dream. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the basis of men. And so, again, this was part of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And God told him, he said, this is why you're dreaming this dream. And he gave him three reasons. He says, you're having this dream so that you can know, Nebuchadnezzar, that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. In other words, God in heaven rules this earth. He rules the affairs of man. Nations are going to rise and nations are going to fall so that God can teach men this truth, that he does rule the kingdoms of the world. He'll continue to set up and he'll continue to cast down until Jesus comes and sets on the throne of this world and rules it. And so he said, that's one of the reasons I'm sending you this dream. I want you to know. And again, as Nebuchadnezzar shares it with his kingdom, he wants all of his kingdom to know. And in doing that, he wants all of us to know. And it's still true today. It hasn't changed. God rules in the kingdom of men. He sets kings and presidents and rulers up. And when it's time to take them down, he will take them down. Nothing happens by chance or accident. It's all according to God's plan. It says in that same verse, verse 17, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. In other words, God makes the choice. He decides who's going to rule over what kingdom. And the powers that be, that's why the New Testament tells us that we need to give respect to those that rule over us, because God has put them in that position. And when we don't give those that rule over us the respect that they're due because of their office, again, they may be a very, very poor man. Their character may be bad, But the fact that they're in that office, they deserve our respect for the office because they were put there by God. And when we don't respect them, we're telling God we don't respect him. So he giveth to whosoever he will and setteth up over it the basis of men. Sometimes that's what God does. He finds the most wicked men and lets them rule. He gives them positions of power. I mean, look at Nebuchadnezzar. Now, again, I think he met the Lord here. I think he got saved in chapter 4. But before that, he was a wicked king. I mean, Babylon was known for its cruelty. It was known for the barbarianism that it exhibited when it went in to conquer different nations. Alexander the Great was the same way. I mean, he ruled the world, but he was very horrendous in what he did to people that he ruled. Julius Caesar, same way. Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin. Just think about the rulers that some of you haven't, and some of us haven't lived in their day, but some of you have. And then just think about this crazy guy in North Korea. I mean, he's not there by accident. God has put him here for a reason. And again, I don't know, you know, how it's all going to come out, what God is going to work through that. But sometimes he puts the basis of men, the most wicked men, in positions of power to accomplish his purpose. And we might say, well, why would God put somebody like Hitler in power? Why would God put this guy in North Korea in power? I don't know. His ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. I can't explain how God works. I can't do that. But I know that nobody comes into power unless God puts them there. That's what God wanted Nebuchadnezzar to know. And so now he's talking to Daniel. He says in verse 18, "This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now, though, O Belshazzar," and that was Daniel's Babylonian name, "for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee." He said, Daniel, just like last time, we read about it in chapter 2, none of the other guys on my payroll, none of my counselors, none of my advisors can tell me what, they couldn't tell me what the dream was, they couldn't tell me what the dream meant. You told me both, now tell me what this one means. I know that you can do it because the spirit of your God, of the holy gods, it dwells in you. You have that spirit of God that can tell me the meaning of my dream. Now, verse 19, "Then Daniel," whose name was Belshazzar, "was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belshazzar answered and said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies." Now, the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had in chapter 2 sort of honored him. I mean, he was the head of gold. I mean, every kingdom that came after him was worse or less than the kingdom that he ruled in the kingdom of Babylon. But this dream had a more personal, debasing meaning for Nebuchadnezzar. And as a result, as God revealed to Daniel what the dream meant, Daniel was reluctant to share it with the king. That's why he said he was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. Nebuchadnezzar was known for his violent anger. And Daniel did not. Remember, he was the one that said, hey, he told the wise men, if you don't tell me what I dreamed and what it means, I'm going to cut you to pieces and tear your houses down. And so Daniel had no idea how Nebuchadnezzar was going to react. But he uses a little tack before he gets into the interpretation. He says, look, this dream is good for those that hate you. And the interpretation is good to your enemies. I mean, it's good for them, but it's not good for you. Look at verses 20 and 20. We'll read 20 through 22. "The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beast of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation, it is thou, O king. Thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy domination to the end of the earth." again, you might say, well, this is good. Well, it's not good because Nebuchadnezzar knows what happens to the tree. But Daniel says, you're the tree. I mean, your kingdom has grown. It reaches to heaven. You have dominion over all the earth. Everybody lives and survives and prospers because of you. They eat because of you. I mean, you control the whole thing. Nobody would prosper unless you allowed it. And so you are that tree. That's what you're dreaming about. You're dreaming about yourself. Verse 23, and whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast of the field, till seven times pass over him. So again, Daniel saying, hey, you heard the voice of the watcher and the Holy One come down from heaven. Well, that's what's going to happen. They're going to come down from heaven. They're going to say, cut down the tree. They're going to say, cut down you. Verse 24, this is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. What Daniel's saying, this dream is from God. Just like the first one you had was from God that told about what was going to happen to your kingdom and the kingdoms that come after it, this dream is about you as well. And it was given to you by God. Verse 25, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. What Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar, look, they're going to cut down the tree. They're going to cut down you. You're going to lose your kingdom. You're going to lose your mind. You're going to be driven out, and you're going to live with the beasts of the field. You're going to sleep in the fields, and when you wake up in the morning, you're going to be wet with the dew. You're going to eat grass just like the oxen eat grass. And you will live in that condition till 7 times or 7 years pass over you until you know one truth. Until you know this truth, that the God of heaven rules in the kingdom of this world. That he has, that again, that you have not achieved in Babylon what you've achieved on your own. It hasn't been, by your wisdom or your strength or your power. You were put in this position by God. And he wants you to know that. You would think, I mean, God had been trying to tell Nebuchadnezzar that all along. I think that was one of the purposes of the first dream. I think that's why God worked in the lives of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when Nebuchadnezzar threw him into the fiery furnace. God wanted Nebuchadnezzar to know he did not rule on his own. He ruled because God allowed him to. And when he passed the decree to burn those three boys up, God in heaven was more powerful than the king of all the earth and stopped it. And you would think, I mean, God was hoping, and Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was hoping that Nebuchadnezzar could see that God was God and that he ruled. Now, again, Nebuchadnezzar came to respect God. He said, hey, Daniel, your God's no God's like yours. He told Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I've never seen another God do what he did for you three. And so he had respect for God. He even called him the God of gods. It never came home to him that God was also his God and that he needed to trust that God and that it was that God that put him in power and set him up on his kingdom. Okay, go ahead and look at verse 26. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. He said the reason the stump was still there and it was bound with a band of iron and brass is God's going to save the kingdom for you. You're going to go out and you're going to live like an animal. You're going to lose your mind. You're going to sleep in the fields. You're going to eat grass. But when you learn that God rules, he'll give you your kingdom back. Not before. Look at verse 27. Wherefore, O king, wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. You see, Nebuchadnezzar suffered from a sin that most of us, most humankind, suffer from to some degree at one time or another in our life, the sin of pride. The sin of pride. We're going to read it in a few verses. I mean, but he's going to say, look at my kingdom. Look at what I've done. Look at what I've accomplished. Look at what I've built. And God had tried to get his attention before. Again, the dream of the first of the statue, the three that were spared from the fiery furnace, to show him that it was God who was actually in charge. It was God that was actually in control. But God wanted Nebuchadnezzar to know he was the only God, the only God. And Nebuchadnezzar was given everything he had at the pleasure of God, and he could take it away just as easily. Now, Daniel told him all that. And Daniel gave him some hope. He said, you're going to learn this truth. And when you learn this truth, God is going to give you your kingdom back. When you understand that he rules. But he also gave him some counsel there in verse 27. He said, hey, king, you didn't ask for it, but let me just give you some advice. Why don't you repent? Why don't you break off the sin of pride and replace it with righteousness? Show mercy to the poor. If you do that, God may lengthen this time of prosperity or tranquility or peace that you're enjoying now. Verse 28. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months. So I don't know if Nebuchadnezzar had a change of heart in that year, or if it was God just showing patience with him, giving him a chance. I don't know. But God withheld judgment for 12 months. At the end of that year, at the end of that 12 months, Nebuchadnezzar's pride came back. Look what it says. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this the great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? He said, I did it all. I'm the one. And God didn't have anything to do with it. And again, Babylon contained the hanging gardens. It was one of the seven wonders of the world at one point in time. I mean, it was a magnificent kingdom. And Nebuchadnezzar said, it was all me. God didn't have anything to do with it. I'm the one that built it. I'm the one that put it together. I'm the one that rules it. I've ruled it to prosperity. And I didn't need God to help me do that. I did that all on my own. You might say, well, you know, what does that have to do with us today? Pride is still a terrible temptation for most of us. We look at things in our life and we say, well, I did this or I accomplished. No, we didn't. I was going to say every good thing, but everything is in our life because God put it there. Amen. He allowed it. He gave it to us. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father, which is in heaven, the Father above, in which there is no variableness. And sometimes we get to thinking, you know, we might look at the wealth we've accumulated, the property we've accumulated, the good family that we have, and we might say, well, that was all because, you know, I was smart and I was wise and I worked hard and I was a good father and I was a good mother. And, you know, we ought to do all those things. We ought to do all those things. We ought to work hard. We ought to use the wisdom that God gives us. We ought to be a good dad, and we ought to be a good mom. We ought to be a good grandpa and a good grandma. But I want to tell you something. We wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for God. Not a thing. Not a thing. He uses us. He uses people. But if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have nothing. And therefore, we'd just be a lot better off to take no credit for any of it. Just give it all to God. Amen. Give it all to him. Verse 31, while the word was in the king's mouth, I mean, he didn't get through talking yet. Oh, this is mighty Babylon. I built it myself for my majesty. There fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. God said, you think you built it? You think it's there because of you? Let me show you. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. Seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And so, I mean, while he was bragging on everything that he had done, God said, okay, I'm going to fulfill the dream. I told you what was going to happen. It's about to happen. You're going to be driven from the throne. You're going to be driven from the kingdom. You're going to live with the beasts of the field. You're going to eat grass. You're going to sleep in the field. You're going to be wet with the dew. Verse 33, that same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men. He did eat grass as oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven. Now, what was the last part? Until his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. God said, all this is going to happen to you. Just like I told you in the dream, it's all going to occur. We're not descended from any animal. Don't believe for a minute that evolution is true. There's no truth in it. But when we reject God, when we reject the truth of God, we get down to an animal level. Men live like animals when they reject God. One of the authors I'm studying, he said about this verse, he said, an atheist would be better off if he were a four-legged hog rather than a two-legged hog, for he could eat more, sleep more, and grunt more. Only a fool says there is no God. Only a fool says there is no God. Only a fool rejects the truth of God. And men without God is like the beasts that perish, tells us that in Psalm chapter 40. All of us, not just Nebuchadnezzar. And this is the truth, and we'll finish up the chapter next week. But all of us need to know that there's a God in heaven, that he still rules in the affairs of men. And we'd be a whole lot better off if we would acknowledge that and we'd live our life with that truth that there's a God in heaven, he rules. We need to believe this book when he tells us we're all sinners. There's a penalty for that sin, and that his son paid for those sins, every single one of them. And he wants a relationship with us. We'd be best to live in that knowledge, accept the truth of God, and put aside our pride. Again, you may not have much of a problem with it, but I dare say every single one of us at one time have struggled with pride, forgetting what God has done for us, not being grateful for what he's done for us, and we need to do that. Nebuchadnezzar, that's what this chapter, one of the truths of this chapter that God wants us to have. All right, men will be praying back in the library. Again, ladies will be praying over here. Please join them if the Lord leads you to do that. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.